Program 87 begins loud and heavy with the music of Columbus band 333. Band founder Rob Ramirez talks about how the group began, lets us know about some upcoming shows, and previews three songs from 333's soon-to-be-released album, Queenswife.
We are probably coming up on 5 years old at this point. I guess that means the band started around 2003. I think it was sometime in the summer of 2003. Me and former drummer Jeremy Canonico had been playing music together in the basement of some friends out in New Albany, and had a little project we called Slim Zeke versus the Orchestra of Doom. We did that for a while, but the gentleman whose house we were playing in would just get really drunk during practice, and you could watch him slowly tip over during songs and just have no idea what was going on, so it got a bit laborious. So I don't know how exactly it came about, but I recorded some little guitar song on my cassette four-track, and Nick, our singer, sat down and listened to it, and I don't even think that I knew at the time, but she sat down and recorded some vocals, and I went back and listened to it, and I thought it sounded pretty cool. It was real, real dark, real eerie stuff, which I've always enjoyed, and showed it to Jeremy, and he really liked it, so he laid some drums down to it, and it sounded pretty good, so we decided to go with it. That came out at the very end of... we finished at the end of the 2003, but with mastering and the mayhem of putting out your own album, we released it, I believe, it was on Valentine's Day of 2004, if memory serves. We've been playing in town since we started as a band. We started the band and booked a show immediately, probably too soon, and found a bass player a couple days before the show, played the show, and we've tried to consistently play from that point forward. It's fun recording music, but getting out and playing live is really the goal. Yeah, that's where you get all your energy out, and you get to enjoy yourself and do the things you're not supposed to do and play your music badly and, you know, have people still enjoy it, which is kind of the whole artistic aspect of it, which is probably why we enjoy it so much. And, you know, we've had stints where we haven't been able to play very much, and that's always the most painful thing. You know, when Jeremy left the band last summer, we didn't play for nearly 8-9 months, and it's pretty tough. It's weird because while you're actually in a band that's got all functional pieces and you're actively practicing and everything and you're playing shows at will, you kind of take it for granted, and every now and then you've got that whole, boy, if I wasn't doing this, I could just come home after work and do what the hell I wanted. And then when you're not doing it, you realize, oh wait, that's what I want to do. So yeah, we've got a new record coming out that has been a long time coming. We've been writing these songs, some of them for years now, that we're going to call the record Queenswife. The title's partially inspired by an absolutely random email I got from this gentleman probably about a year and a half ago. Don't know who he is really still to this day, but emailed me just this long, rambly, acid-influenced email about, we use the number 333, do we know what it means? He just went on this long explanation of what it means to him and this whole universe that he's created that revolves around 333, and this, I don't know if you know much about Aleister Crowley or this idea of Charazon, who is basically a low-key type god of chaos, and this guy was way into that, and he had a whole website devoted to it, and so that got me thinking, you know, what the hell? We've got this fucking name that apparently means a whole lot to this guy, and so I did some research and looked up the, what do they call it, gemology of the name and of the numbers 333, and led us back to all these different Hebrew interpretations, and one of them was Queen's Wife, which was basically the wife of God, or the wife of Jesus, which kind of equated back to the Virgin Mary, which didn't really even equate to that. It was just this weird, weird thing, and it was eerie enough that we wanted to name a record after it, and then it was actually Queen Wife at that point. And then our friend Andrea Kender did the album cover artwork for us, which is very, very beautiful, by the way. She mistakenly wrote Queen's Wife on all the cover art that she did, and we figured that sounds better, actually, so we went with that. First up, we have here a song called Comes Around. This song has been around with the band for a while now. It's one of my personal favorites. It goes through a few seasons, if you will, three to be specific. Pretty, I guess, metal-influenced through the first three chords of the song. Then it takes a transition to more of a punk or rock outro. The song really, I guess it comes from the unique relationship issues you have and the unique kind of relationship that Nick Demon and myself have in the band. You know, basically how you fuck with each other and the things you do and how it comes around and bites you in the ass every time. So enjoy this one. It's called Comes Around, and the end refrain of the song from Nick is, I'm a little less horny for you.
Thank you.
Well, we've got two pretty big shows coming up here. We've got September 15th at Rivari Room in Columbus. We'll be playing second that night. Headlining will be Juicifer, the mighty Juicifer from Atlanta, Georgia. Loud and Proud two-piece. And then we will have also opening up the show that night, Medic Medic from, I believe, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Good 90s influence punk rock kind of band. And then, of course, we have our CD release. And it's going to be a three-band CD release, which should be great. Dead Sea will be releasing their upcoming record. Night Soil, probably less well-known, but just great young metal band with a couple of brothers playing bass and guitar and doing vocals. They'll be releasing their record that night. And 333 will be releasing our record, Queen's Wife. That'll be October 19th at Ruby Tuesday in Columbus. We've got another song for you called Feed Me Gravy. What I like about this song a lot is Nick, who strictly does vocals in the band, who happens to be probably the ultimate idiot savant of music, though, picked up my fretless bass one day and laid down all the tracks to this song herself, showed it to me, said, I've got a song that I kind of like, I think we should do it, and I listened to it, and just the way that she works, she tracked out three bass tracks, which I combined into one simple guitar track that I could play all at the same time. But the genius of it, of course, was that she's a vocalist, so she harmonized the parts together. Slow, drippy, gravy-like song, as in the title, pretty much encompasses those, I guess, the dirt that comes along with sex and going after lust in a relationship, and how after you do certain things and certain circumstances, you just feel like you might need to take a couple or four showers in boiling water afterwards, but it's all good. This song's called Tired Arm. This song will probably be my favorite song off of this record, and maybe my favorite song that I've written for this band. Certain people seem to like it because it's got a poppy quality to it. It's got a rocky quality to it. I like it for all those. I like the fact that I get to sing and harmonize on the song. Tired Arm, it's kind of got some roundabout meanings to it. I'd written a poem years and years and years ago called My Life as a Porn Star, which basically was a sad, lonely poem about me not getting laid enough when I was stuck in Nelsonville, Ohio. And Nick found that and, you know, kind of twisted it into a song, which she encompassed, I don't know, the wonderful jealous feelings that you can always get in a relationship thinking about one another's pasts, and culminates in a beautiful refrain that the fleas still bite, that's what it is, the fleas still bite, the trees still leave, candy whores, I do believe, sleep peacefully. This one's called Tired Arm, enjoy.
Are you burned out?
Again, we've got this great show coming up on September 15th. We'll be with Jucifer as the headliner at the Rivari Room. And I can't say this enough. I tell people this every time I end up talking about music, especially heavy music. This is an absolutely phenomenal band, Jucifer. Check them out. September 15th at the Rivari Room, two-piece, literally a wall of speakers and amplifiers behind them. Your ears will ring till you're 65. This band is great. You've got Amber, who is the singer, beautiful and loud, and you've got Edgar, who is the drummer, who is one of the most insane drummers you'll ever see stand and jump on his floor toms during a show, or bend over and vomit from exhaustion during a show and not miss a beat. Their new record, which they're promoting right now, If Thine Enemy Hunger, I highly recommend it. Check it out if you get a chance. And I would also highly recommend you go back and you pick up their previous record, Warbird. Phenomenal, phenomenal record. We're going to play you a song here off of If Thine Enemy Hunger called Pontius of Pelea.
Tell her that nothing can save.
Cleveland band Bears doing Never Have to Guess from their self-titled release. You can see Bears open for Matt Pond PA at the Grog Shop in Cleveland on October 6th, and here in Columbus at Andy Mann's Treehouse on October 13th. Before Bears, we heard Oakland, California's Rogue Wave from an album due September 18th called Asleep at Heaven's Gate. That's out on Universal Republic Records. Rogue Wave is currently supporting Feist on tour with stops in Pittsburgh at Carnegie Music Hall on September 13th and Michigan Theater on September 15th in Ann Arbor. One of my favorite bands from Brighton, England before that, Electrolane, from their latest No Shouts, No Calls. We heard Between the Wolf and the Dog. Electrolane embarks on a European tour in November. Starting off that set was Columbus's own Rose Hips. I played a song from their recent 7-inch single called One Inch to the Mile. Catch Rose Hips at Bourbon Street on September 20th and October 19th at Carabar. You lucky kids in Athens, Ohio can see them at Casa Cantina on October 26th. Clevelander Chris Sheehan and his band Celebrity Pilots had their Columbus CD release party at Carabar on August 26th for their CD Spooky Action. I don't find any upcoming live dates found near MySpace, but I do find this track, Our Dumb Century, to be quite listenable.
Script. This won't amount to much, an excuse to why we're not getting rich. Yeah, it's close enough. Yeah, it's close enough. And we were only dreaming again. It's close enough.
Stone that you see.
little bit of Jesus and the Devil there. In reverse order, we heard Holly Golightly and the Brokoffs doing Devil Do from one of the best titled albums of the year, You Can't Buy a Gun When You're Crying. Holly and her band make a diagonal path across the state of Ohio with stops at the Beachland Ballroom on September 17th in Cleveland, the Basement in Columbus on September 18th, and the Southgate House in Newport, Kentucky on September 19th. Before that, we heard another local Columbus group, Youngstown Tune-Up. Don't be fooled by the name. They're from Columbus. The song we heard was Jesus Loves You. I don't find any upcoming live dates for Youngstown Tune-Up, but they are at work on their first LP entitled Homemade Confetti, so stay tuned. Finally, if Rob didn't convince you at the top of the show to go see Jucifer next Saturday, September 15th, you might want to drive up to Cleveland to catch Enon. They are headlining the free annual outdoor festival called Studio A-Rama at the Mather Memorial Courtyard on Case Western Reserve University's campus. Studio A-Rama is put on by WRUW every year and is a good time. Here's Enon from their 2002 release High Society, doing In the City. Until next week.